Welcome to a special one-hour election edition of Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. Between now and the May 16th election, I am interviewing candidates in local races in Clatsop County. For the first half hour of today's show, I am speaking with Dick Helberg and Dirk Roan, who are running for Position 2 on the Port of Astoria Commission. In the second half hour, I will interview Pat O'Grady and Frank Spence, who are running for Position 5. But first, a bit of background about the port. The Port District covers the entire county, and with an annual budget of nearly $16 million, manages the port itself on Astoria's west end, two mooring basins in Astoria, the Tongue Point Industrial Area on Astoria's east end, and the Warrenton-Astoria Regional Airport in Warrenton. In addition to choosing three port commissioners, voters also will decide the fate of a nearly $2 million bond measure on the May 16th ballot. Although both Helberg and Roan would be new to the Port Commission, they both have extensive experience in community service. Helberg, a Warrenton resident, is a commercial fisherman and former marine surveyor and educator. He served three terms on the Warrenton City Commission and also has served on the Warrenton School Board. Brownsmead dairy farmer Dirk Roan has served on the Clatsop County Board of Commissioners and the Clatsop Community College Board of Directors. This show was pre-recorded. Welcome to the studio, Dick and Dirk.
Thank you.
I think I'd like to start by having each of you take 2 or 3 minutes to explain why you are running for Port Commission. Dirk, why don't you start?
Yes, thanks for having us. I've always been fascinated by the port and the maritime history of our area. Also very interested in economic development, serving on the county commission. We have a very broad mission, and we do many different things that many people may or may not be aware of. I like the idea of working more directly on economic development and help improve the well-being of our larger community.
Great. Thank you. Dick?
Yes, so thank you also for the opportunity. My interest in a port, I guess, started when I was about 17 years old and went to work at Pillsbury Mills while I was in high school. And then I started longshoring during that same period before I went in the Marine Corps. But a lot of my occupational activities have been based around the port and other ports along the West Coast. I fished on draggers out of there. I longshored for years off and on before I was going to college. Helped pay for that endeavor. And then when I started gill netting, there was a place for me to moor my boat, and the canneries were there. My father was a longshoreman, and also was my brother. I guess what pushed me finally in the end here is I'm very concerned about this gill net situation on the river, in which we, the gill netters, won the ballot measure, and the governor then overturned it with this getting them off the river and then putting the fishermen into these terminal areas. And when the port refused to sign a letter supporting them, and we in the past had done this at the city of Warrenton, and most public bodies had supported the gill net industry, I thought, well, you know, there's something wrong there at the port that they won't sign and back up an industry that we have. It doesn't mean that other industries have to give way, but so anyway, I thought, well, I'm going to run for the port because I just was upset that this would even happen with a local government body. And I thought I can at least lend some perspective as to the history in this community and the history of the county and its culture. So then I went and attended a couple of board meetings, and the disharmony on that commission kind of really convinced me that I made the right decision to run. There has to be a better communication between the members of that commission and finishing their business than there is presently. And hopefully that I can lend my experience to that endeavor. I've was the president of the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Association for 7 years, and conducted meetings all the ways up and down the coast from San Pedro to Tusuk Bay up on the Kuskokwim. And I've conducted meetings, you know, with groups of people with language problems and people that weren't too sophisticated in their responses, and I've always managed to come through and have an orderly meetings. And I think that that's a skill that I have, that I could conduct the meetings or help conduct the meetings in an orderly fashion. So.
Okay. Well, and since you mentioned that issue, the disharmony on the port commission, I did want to bring that up because you are both aware, I'm sure, that the port commission has been mired in some infighting, which also has been directed at staff members as well. And you both have served on a number of public boards. And as part of that service, you will oftentimes disagree with your fellow board members. So how do you approach a situation when you disagree with someone, but you need to get the work done? What are your strategies and what personal strengths do you bring to deal with disagreements, disagreements of policy? Dirk?
Yes, I've served on two very different board of commissions as far as the Clatsop County Commission goes. I could say the first board was one way, and over time we built trust and respect amongst each other. John Reichel was very collegial, and I kind of looked to him as a role model of how civil a person should behave, and in time I became, I think, good friends, or felt like I developed mutual respect with Jeff Hazen. On second commission, a very different board, and in the end, I had some issues that I raised that other board members chose not to acknowledge or investigate. And despite the level of disagreement, there were never ill-spoken words during a public meeting or an executive session. And in the end, even though I was very disappointed with the other board members, I needed to be effective. And in order to be effective, I needed to get along with these people during the meeting and be professional. And so if I had an issue I was concerned about, I would pick up the phone and have that conversation, because it can be challenging, but ultimately it's my job to represent the public. And in order to do that, I need to work with whomever I'm seated with to the best of my ability. And, you know, on the county commission, for instance, there are so many different issues that have to be addressed. And you may not agree with someone else on a large or small issue, but at the next meeting, there may be an issue that you may be able to work with someone on. And so kind of maintaining rapport of some degree will allow you to move, you know, to serve the greatest public good. It is, you know, it does take discipline. And I think that I've been able to consider that and have gotten better at working with all sorts of different people.
Thank you. And Dick, you addressed this a bit, but why don't you say some more about how you deal with disagreements?
Well, I think in any body that has to work together, public bodies, you have to be open. You know, in a private situation or a union situation where you are meeting outside of the public very often, you can get together and have your arguments out of the public view and out of even the membership's view, and then come to a conclusion. But it's always, you always have to be civil with each other, even when your temper raises, or you may even in a private setting, your voice may even come up. And in the end, you have to always remember you're just expressing your opinion. You always have to take time to listen to somebody else. And one of the things that gets, you know, in a public meeting, a lot of times a person will start talking on a point and then start to become redundant. As a member of a board or something, you as not, unless you're the chair, you cannot control that. And in that case, the chair has to be able to say, you know, that we're becoming redundant, we need to move on, and very nicely and politely. And most people will respond to that well. In the end, you come to a vote. And when you vote, after you've given your best argument, whatever the vote comes out, that is a decision of that body. And that body has, as a group, like in the Port Commission, or what are the City Commission, only the whole group's decision has any effect on what is going on. And once you've decided, you have to get behind it. You might not like it, and you may quietly against it, or if an opportunity comes again, you may bring it up again. But you don't start opposing it or whatever it is. It has to become, that is what has been passed, and you have to go with the way it is.
Okay.
Until the next opportunity to make another decision. The biggest thing is respect for everybody that's there and being civil.
Okay. Thank you both. I also wanted to ask about the bond measure, because that is on the ballot as well. The port is asking voters to approve a $1.9 million bond measure for improvements to the southern end of the airport in Warrenton. And among other things, the bond would create a pad for the helicopter ambulance life flight, their new hangar, as well as add utilities and a new street entrance to hopefully attract future developments. What are your positions on the bond, Dirk?
I'm supporting the bond. I think it's an asset to our community. And while it is there and it does function, it should be improved. And I've spent time with Jim Knight at various points the port director to become familiar with the situation, looking over the lay of the land, as it were, at the airport, and the justification for trying to best meet the logistical needs of all the port's tenants. I also met with current port board member John Reichel at the airport and discussed the issue with him, and then met with former Mayor Willis Van Dusen, and he is heading the campaign in support. And with respect to those gentlemen, I believe, and awareness of the situation, I believe it's the best solution for our community, and I hope our community supports it.
Okay. And Dick, what about you?
Well, we're going to have a difference here. I definitely support Life Flight. I belong to that. I pay every year they've been here. I paid membership, and they weren't here for a year. I think it's necessary service for the community. However, they have a Connect Oregon grant for $1 million. And that's what I'm getting for the paper. And this might not be, there are some details I think that maybe I'm missing. But that grant was supposed to be 60% of the cost for bringing them in and building their facility. That means that roughly another $500,000 is necessary. The bond is for $1.97 million. And I don't understand why the priorities for the port should be their infrastructure that they have. And we have a port docks, which is by far creating much more income. A log ship creates $100,000 every time they come to port. The monthly income at the airport is $12,000. The port isn't in a really good financial position, and I don't think that bond levy is in good. I don't think it is putting the priorities of the port in a proper perspective. There should be another way to satisfy the requirements for Life Flight. Gone down there and looked at it. There is another site right next to the one, the doctor's hangar and thing that's been in the paper between him and the Coast Guard. And the idea that there would be conflict between the Coast Guard and the helicopter, that would be three helicopter services from the airport. They all taxi to the runway to take off. They don't launch right from their pad. You're not taking patients to the airport, so you don't necessarily have to worry about getting a patient to the helicopter. The helicopter goes to it. The other thing is that I've watched the airport since 1955, actually before that. I remember when the Navy was there, and I watched the whole area as it slowly went away. There is about 13, I don't know, somebody said more, but in the southwest corner of the airport of acres that have been already ready for development. Nothing has happened in over 50 years. The waste management moved in there, and UPS is there, and of course Electro is there, and the bar pilots. The rest of it, there's empty hangars. I know the roads could be improved, but it should be for something. And I look at 1.4 to 1.5 million of that bond measure as developing something on the come. They have no, there aren't any prospective businesses that want to buy in there. It also is at a sea level position in which the water table very often is very close to ground level. The county already has a business park within a mile of there up behind Costco and in the old AMAC site, which is in direct competition for selling industrial and business sites. So that part of it, I've got a problem with that much money on the bond when the port really has some pressing needs to keep some of the things that are making money for them and potentially could make additional funds that need to be repaired, especially at the port. They also need to find how to finance the possession of Tongue Point. Right now it's on a lease basis. That probably isn't sustainable. We need to figure out how to get the port to own it so that it really is an asset to the port. So although I really cannot vote for the bond as it is, I certainly don't want in any way anyone to think that I don't want Lifelight, because I think Lifelight can come in very nicely with what the port can provide without the bond measure.
Okay, thank you. If you're just joining me, you are listening to a pre-recorded interview with candidates for Position 2 on the Port of Astoria Commission in the May 16th election. This is Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. We'll be back after a short break. Welcome back to a pre-recorded edition of Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. I'm Joan Herman. I'm speaking with candidates Dick Helberg and Dirk Roan, who are running for Position 2 on the Port of Astoria Commission in the May 16th election. We were just talking about the bond measure, and it's called the Port of Astoria. So I'm wondering, even though the port's district is countywide, how do you tell someone in the southern part of the county or the eastern part of the county where you live, Dirk, how the bond will help them?
I believe the port is an economic engine to our entire community, and the more economic businesses that thrive here, the benefits through tax base are, you know, something the entire county shares, which means more funding for more services for every part of the county. And, you know, we have some world-class businesses at the port. People don't think a lot about the port. They drive by it. And
Would you name some of those for people who aren't aware of what they are?
England Marine, you know, has an excellent reputation on the entire west coast of the United States, and they're here. This is where they started. They used to be dairy farmers, so I think that speaks to why they've been so successful. A little bit of a joke there.
You looking into your future as well?
No, I admire what they've done, but they're excellent tenants of the port that do more than serve the port. They serve a larger community, actually a larger region in the entire West Coast. And then you have, you know, Bornstein Seafoods, which is a very large operation and you know, with operations in Washington and a very large reach. So you have these very significant businesses here looking for stability, and that's what I hope to help bring to the board is stability, or to use some maritime jargon, to help put the port on an even keel. And you have issues out there, as discussed in the paper, the man cave, they called it, where you had a client that was, you know, arbitrarily threatened by board members to have his lease pulled. And if you're a large business like Bornstein's or England Marine, you wouldn't want to have, you know, a board member, you know, call into question the lease of your your business.
And that was Commissioner Stephen Fulton who did that.
Yes. So, which was entirely out of line. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, I received a lot of different encouragement from a lot of different people across a wide spectrum, encouraging me to run. And I think that's part of what they don't want to see. And if we can move away from that kind of behavior, then you can help inspire businesses in your port and hopefully bring more, but help them want to feel secure so they can invest. And their investments are into the port, but they're also into our region and, you know, help us provide more services countywide.
Thank you. Dick?
Can you repeat your question now so I can get a focus?
Sure,
so
you bet.
Listening.
It's called the Port of Astoria, and yet the district serves the entire county. How do you explain to someone who lives well away from Astoria in the southern part of the county or the eastern reaches of the county why they should vote for this nearly $2 million bond measure, how it will benefit them?
Well, whether it's to support the bond measure, but the port, I think, is this what was said. It is an economic engine. I think its main responsibility is to create good employment for the area. And although it's located on the river and most of it is on the north end of the county, it creates a tax base for the county, and which makes it easier to run county government. It provides employment, which anyone in the county can go to accept. You don't have to live at the north end to work for the port. The commute isn't all that far. The biggest effect is, though, I think, the overall welfare, the economic welfare of the county, and that affects all of us as to how our infrastructures are taken care of. Also, when you have jobs at a port, generally they're of a higher pay than minimum wage. And one of our problems in Clatsop County right now is we have full employment and then some, and still our food banks are continually having to increase their need or increase the amount of food they take in to pass out. And there's something wrong with a full employed account area that is dependent on a food bank to support its population. And the port is the one entity that I see its main mission is to create economic opportunity. And those jobs should be above minimum wage, good paying jobs that everyone could live on. I think that is the job of the port. And if you live in a South County, it might be a little abstract, but you're still going to be affected by the amount of money available by the county to do your services, and if you wish to come and come up and be employed by the port.
Okay, thank you. Are there any specific projects or goals that you would set for yourself or like to take on as Port Commissioner, Dirk?
Well, there's lots of things that, you know, I guess my basic premise for running is to help create stability, with the idea that stability would allow and hopefully investment to occur. And then the port would be a good partner with the other cities, the county, and the entire region. There's a lot of people in you know, the state and federal government who want to help the port, but when they see what's going on at the board level, it makes them want to pull back.
The infighting
is affecting the effectiveness of the overall port. Having been involved in government, over time I've had the privilege of meeting a lot of fantastic people and gotten to the point where if I ask an honest question, I'll get an honest answer. And I believe that the current professional management at the port is doing a good job and is well regarded by other ports and the state. However, the board is giving everyone else who would like to partner with the port pause. And so, working with the state, you know, I've grown up and operate a farm in Brownsmead. The rail goes through our farm. When I was growing up, the train would go by once a week. Kind of a long shot goal for me would be, you know, I'd love to see rail service reestablished to our county. I don't believe, you know, they're going to put more lanes on the highway, but if we were able to move freight on rail, or on the water with port facilities. That to me would be kind of a long shot goal, but I believe that creating stability will help little things go well, help difficulties be overcome. There's a lot of legacy issues with pollutants from tenants of the port who have you know are long gone, and you know there's lots of storm damage that's occurred in the last several years. A lot of those big storms that kind of come and go, you don't realize how much damage that can do to a port, in which it has. And so,
okay,
it's my hope to be a good partner and good for the community, and hopefully little things will go well, and maybe medium-sized things could go well, and even then maybe something larger that's beneficial for all of us could happen. But the port is to kind of create an atmosphere where that can happen. Like the Fort George Brewery, that didn't come out of a think tank. It took the initiative of two individuals and a lot of hard work to do and create the business they have. So that is true, I believe, for any business. So all the port can do is provide a location, maybe a location for like J&H Boat Works, where they do tremendous work building and repairing vessels. And being involved in the county, I was very involved with AMCO, trying to see that AMCO could prosper and exist. And that's not something that appears likely to happen. So working with the port to help provide those maritime services for our fisheries-based economy, which is large and significant. So those are sorts of things I'd like to help be a part of.
Thank you. And Dick, we have just a minute left. What would you say as a specific project?
Well, the thing I'd like to see is that I'd like to see our ocean-going cargo facility increased, get business to increase. And one of the things that could be done, we used to export wheat out of the Port of Astoria. I worked on some of the ships that did that. I helped line them. I never did work in the actual loading of the wheat. But I know that there's wheat stored from time to time in barges up in Portland that could be brought down to the Port of Astoria as to get it started. We could load wheat barges directly to the ships at the port. That's just a possibility, or some other grain type, whether it's wheat or something else. The water transportation is really the only transportation we have good coming and going, so we're going to have to try to work within that context. The rail needs to be improved, but it's kind of the chicken which comes first, and until we get something that'll get the rail down here, which starting a wheat export enterprise could, that would get the rail back. And I can remember running that rail to Portland in 1948 to a football game. And the other thing would be the ship repair, which is going on at Tongue Point right now, and enhancing that. AMCO, and I've been in both places because I still am doing marine surveys, and AMCO site, I know they're having problems, but it is really the only good site right now for those larger boats, and it needs to be either fixed so he can use it, or we need to get the facility to the port or to Tongue Point, and there's a lot of opportunity in that area to come to Astoria.
Great. Thank you, Dick. I'm sorry to cut you off,
but no problem.
We are at the end of the first half hour of a one-hour special election edition of Perspectives. I'm interviewing candidates for the Port of Astoria Commission. In the first half hour, I've been speaking with Dick Halberg and Dirk Rohn, who are running for position 2 on the Port of Astoria Commission in the May 16th election. This is Perspectives, and I'm your host, Joan Herman. Coming up next, I will have interviews with candidates for position 5 on the port, Frank Spence and Pat O'Grady. Thank you, though, Dick and Dirk, for coming into the studio and speaking about your candidacy.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for having us. Really appreciate it.
We'll be back with the other candidates after a short break. I'm Joan Herman. For the remainder of the show, I'm speaking with two candidates for position 5 on the Port of Astoria Commission, Pat O'Grady and Frank Spence. They are running for the position now held by John Reichel, who has chosen not to seek re-election. Despite its name, the Port of Astoria District covers the entire county, and with an annual budget of nearly $16 million, manages facilities that include the port itself on Astoria's west end, two mooring basins in Astoria, the Tongue Point Industrial Area on Astoria's east end, and the Astoria Regional Airport in Warrenton. Besides choosing three port commissioners in the May election, voters also will decide the fate of the port's nearly $2 million bond measure. Pat O'Grady has diverse experience working as a farmer in Washington County, west of Portland, as president of Warrenton Auto and Marine Repair, and as a local longshoreman, a job he has held for the past several years. He serves on the sheriff's underwater recovery team and also on the crew that helps hang Christmas decorations. Frank Spence had a 45-year career as a city and county manager in several communities in Florida. He relocated to Astoria in 2013, where he now serves on the Astoria Planning Commission, the Port of Astoria's Budget Committee, and chairs the board of Encore, a senior education program at the college. This interview was pre-recorded. Welcome to the studio, Pat and Frank.
Welcome. Thank you for having me here. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joan. Glad to be here.
I'd like to start by having each of you take a minute or two to explain why you are running for the Port Commission.
Well, I'll start off here first. My first thing is disclosure between the commission and the staff there. That seems to be a problem lately. Not going by the bylaws that have been put in place years ago by Bob Lovell and John McGowan. They seem to have let go of that, going by that. And what the commission needs is a weekly update from staff on what is going on with the port. So the community and the commission know what is going on with the port on a weekly basis. And that is a concern of mine that needs to really, really happen. Information, discussing things with each other, and letting the people know what's going on in their community.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Frank?
Yes. I'm having been on the budget committee for 3 years of the port and attending regular meetings, I understand what the issues are and what's going on. As you mentioned, seat 5 is currently held by John Reichel, who has been a steadying influence on the commission. This is due to his experience, long experience, many years as a county commissioner and as a sheriff for decades. He had asked, knowing that he wasn't going to run again, he did ask me to run since I'm familiar with the issues and the personnel at the port. My life has always been one of community service, and you named a few of the organizations that I'm involved in, but the port is really important. In my opinion, it's at the crossroads of development. It has not pursued its mission of economic development. The state statutes creating ports, port districts, state right off the bat that they are to facilitate economic development. And that has bogged down in my short time here into minutia, internal squabbling, not focusing on the big picture of development. In Tongue Point, we have a diamond in the rough with great potential for development. The port, though, is paying for lack of preventive maintenance in the past. And the major issue has been the stormwater collection and the violations issued by the State Department of Environmental Quality and the port being fined. So they are bogged down in these type of issues, how to pay for them, and they're not addressing the bigger picture of luring businesses here.
Okay. And you're referring to the nearly $70,000 fine that the DEQ just
assessed the port with? Yes, that's one of the two fines, yes.
Okay. All right, thank you. Aside from the experience that I've already mentioned about each of you, explain what in your background, professionally and personally, makes you a strong candidate for the position. Pat?
Operated a very successful business. I've dealt with customers, personnel, and I've never had any interior fighting or real problems. And you cut it off at the chase right away if there is an issue. Communicate with the customer or the employee, and handle it accordingly, and smile, shake hands, and work around any issues whatsoever. And I've become very good friends with a lot of customers in the area, and I've had many situations where I've had a angry customer come in, not from me, but other places, and all of a sudden, they're one of my best friends for life. And I can name quite a few, but I won't take that time. But it's been a great venture, and this community out here is just wonderful.
And how long have you had your business?
15 years.
Okay, great. Thank you. Frank?
Having worked in local government and for elected officials, both at the city and county level, I know how boards, elected official boards, are supposed to operate, and I, as a manager, know what my responsibility is. If I go to the other side as elected official, I know the commission is responsible for establishing policy, and then the executive director, in the local government sense, the city manager, county administrator, is to carry it out with he and his staff. The squabbling is unfortunate. I remember an old saying, let's agree to disagree without being disagreeable. And I hope to encourage a debate. Everybody has an opinion, and that's fine. It's the respect of one another, and I certainly respect the members of the commission. So I would encourage that to focus on civility and ideas and options to attack the problems that they're faced. So I believe that my experience over 45 years of how organizations operate suits me to be a commissioner.
Okay, great. And both of you have mentioned the squabbling going on, the infighting at the Port of Astoria Commission that has also been directed against staff members. How do you work successfully with people when you are disagreeing and tensions get high, and how do you respect each other, maintain that civility, Pat?
You need to go in there and set your argument in place and respect the other person for their words also, whatever it may be, and leave it to a very short minute or whatever. And when the meeting is over with, you go up and shake hands and say, hey, I'm sorry I disagreed with you, and let it go from there and still become friends, work together. You're always going to have disagreements, but by gosh, it's at a meeting. Let it go. Don't take it outside the meeting. Keep it inside the meeting and try to listen to what the other person really has to say, weigh out what you have to say, and come in the middle and try to get an agreement put together.
Okay. Thank you, Frank.
Very well said, and I agree with Pat on that. It's a mutual respect of everyone, each and every person. And the general public, they have complaints too and come up, and sometimes they get very emotional. I guess that's it. If we could lock down the emotional part, which I know that many of the issues are sensitive and affect people, but they affect people's lives too. There's the lives of the employees, the lives of people and contractors dealing with the port. But the civility and mutual respect is extremely needed.
Do you think the Port Commission's reputation and the port's reputation as a whole has been harmed by the infighting that's been going on?
I think it's been harmed by the Daily Astorian with incorrect information to the public.
What incorrect information has that been?
Boy, I can't really at this point think back, but I know through 5 years of being at the port meetings that what is said in the meeting and what is put in the paper, I'd have to dig back and figure that out.
Okay.
That's a true statement.
Okay. All right. Frank?
The image is certainly bad. Again, my arrival, when I arrived here, part curiosity and part seeing what's going on. And what happened when I got here in 2013, There were two vacant positions on the county commission at that time. So I said, you know, my experience, I'll throw my hat in. So John Reichel was appointed by the remaining three to fill the one of the two empty slots. And then Dr. Bob Mushin and I were the second finalist. But because of the complaints from South County of lack of representation on the commission, Dr. Mushin represented South County, Seaside, and Cannon Beach, where he practiced as an ophthalmologist. So he was selected. But that's got me interested. And then from that point, since I became a public figure, then I was appointed to the budget committee at that time. But there is an image there. Some of it's perceived and some not, but it's out there. And the public is not happy at all with what's going on. And they want it resolved. They want it settled one way or the other.
Okay. Well, let's talk a bit about the bond measure, since that is also on the ballot, as I mentioned a moment ago. So the bond is for nearly $2 million, and it would pay for improvements at the southern end of the airport in Warrenton. And among other things, the bond would create a pad for the helicopter ambulance service Life Flight, its new hangar, as well as add utilities and a new street entrance to attract future development. What is your position on the bond, and have you talked with any constituents and gotten a sense of how they feel about it? Pat, would you like to take that first?
Sure. Let me give you a little history here. First off and foremost, I'm 110% for Life Flight being here. I was flown out by Life Flight out of Washington at a accident up there. And they saved my life.
Wow.
I'm here today because of them and all the doctors and all that. I was out of commission for 3 days and had months and months of therapy and all that. And I'm here today because of Life Flight. But I will tell you up front, I do not support the bond issue because 15% of that only goes to Life Flight. The rest of it's for speculation at the airport. And we do not, as taxpayers, have the money for that to put forth there. There's avenues out there at the airport for Life Flight to put them different places at no cost to the taxpayer. The bond issue, I think, is misrepresented in my personal opinion, and we need to watch out for our monies out here in the county for people that can't afford increases, etc. Life Flight is there. Life Flight's there to stay, and I want them to stay there, but there's different avenues at the port at the no cost to the taxpayer with bond measure can put them in place in a better location there.
Okay. Frank?
I support the bond issue. The area, Clatsop County, is fortunate that Life Flight has chosen our airport to locate and their headquarters for the West Coast. They are a valuable service, and as Pat said, if anyone uses the services, they are all for it. They cover multi-state areas, and in our case, all the way down to Cannon Beach and beyond, south. We are in exceptional position at the airport in that we have three helicopter operations going on at the same time. We have the Coast Guard, we have the helicopter service that takes the bar pilots out, and we have Life Flight. And one of the considerations in locating, relocating the Life Flight was that the Coast Guard's concerned about their fixed-wing aircraft being too close to all the other helicopter operations there. So they wanted to move the Life Flight headquarters further down the line. I believe that what's being talked about is just a three-year bond. And I believe one of the figures that about how much it cost taxpayers, I think it was $12.75 per $200,000 valuation tax bill. But you're paying for life. You're paying for subscriptions. I subscribed to their service along with MedX. I think it's a great investment because they don't realize how much it costs if you ever had to be flown out. So I believe It is a service to the community, and I support it wholly.
You support the bond also?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
$1.9 million.
And if I'm correct, I think it's just under $13 per $100,000. It's what the three-year bond would cost homeowners.
That's what I thought I heard. I didn't quote figures.
I do believe it's more than that, but I don't have the figures in front
okay.
of me.
Okay. All right. Well, we are ready for a break. So if you're just joining me, you're listening to a pre-recorded interview with Pat O'Grady and Frank Spence, who are candidates for Position 5 on the Port of Astoria Commission, a position now held by incumbent John Reichel. This is Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. We'll be back after a short break. Welcome back to a pre-recorded edition of Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. I'm Joan Herman. I'm speaking with candidates Pat O'Grady and Frank Spence, who are running for Position 5 on the Port of Astoria Commission in the May 16th election. Right before the break, we were talking about the nearly $2 million bond measure, and I wonder, have each of you had a chance to talk with voters, gotten a sense of how they're going to vote on the measure? Pat?
I've talked to quite a few people on that, and they're, like I said, misinformed on what's going on there. They think the money's all for Lifelight. It is not. 15% does go to Lifelight. The rest of the money and the bond issue is speculative stuff out at the airport. I think we have more important things down in Astoria here at the pier and all that to take care of versus putting that money out there for speculation. There's been a lot of speculations in different entities, and we need to at the port, we need to take care of what we have now. There's a lot of money that needs to be put on the piers, our fishing fleet, our commercial fleet, our sports fleet that's here. For instance, we have the marina down there at the West End, pretty much some sandbars in there. We cannot fulfill all those spots down there in the marina with fishing boats, etc. That needs to be taken care of and dredged. Our piers need to be taken care of. There's a lot more money for maintenance out there than what a person realizes to take care of out there, and I'm for that. I'm for to help the commercial fishermen here. They like to see a lift for their gear, etc., put in place there. This was promised years ago, and there's also was supposed to be an oil disposal place for them to put their waste oil in. It's closed off now, and they have to take it to Oregon Waste, and that's a tough one for them. Newport has a great facility down there. Why cannot the port put a good one in here and have it safe and economical and help the commercial fishermen around here? I'm just 110% for the commercial fishermen and the sport fishermen around the area, and we need to help them out. We need to help our tenants here at the port, and that's a big issue on my end, is take care of what we have without expanding.
Okay. Frank?
Yes, there are all those needs. There's no doubt about it. But that costs money. To me, that's a separate issue. Many cities and counties would float another bond issue for capital improvements. Right there, now the single issue is $1.9 million bond issue. I have not gotten any negative feedback, although I have not pursued it. Obviously promoting my own candidacy, I just say I'm in favor of it, and I haven't gotten any feedback, Pat. But these other needs are going to take money, and they represent risk. Like if we don't get dredging, at low tide, I understand the boats in the marina are on the bottom. What most people don't know is where the sea lions are. They made the statement that when you have 2,000 sea lions, guess where their excrement goes? It's predicted or estimated that's 2 to 3 feet deep. So that's another environmental issue. So, yes, we have all kinds of issues to address down at the port. But on this specifically, Lifelight is there. It's headed up by a former Coast Guard commander, Dan Travers. So the Coast Guard has been a great influence and help or supporter of this community, and that's why we are a official Coast Guard city. So between Dan Travers and Bruce Jones, a couple of the retired commanding officers. We appreciate their help. So he certainly is all for it, and their signs are out, so I see them.
Okay. Okay, thank you. How do you tell someone who lives in the southern part of the county or maybe the eastern part of the county that they should vote for this measure, or if you don't agree with the bond measure, that the port makes a difference in their lives? Pat, do you want us to take that first?
Yes, I can. I support being around the port and helping them out. My main thing is family wage jobs, and we need to keep our kids here. Yes, we got a great college up here. A lot of the kids that are raised around here go elsewhere for employment. The port has family wage jobs, a lot of them, and it's a good entity, and we can expand upon that as time goes on with improvements, infrastructure, new businesses, maybe Tongue Point, if that's feasible. We could possibly get a ship out grain here, if that's workable. Auto ships, that's been thought of. There's a lot of things that we can supply here to keep kids here for a family wage job and good income instead of them moving out of our area.
Okay. What are, for people who aren't aware, what are some of the family wage jobs that the port now has?
We have the port staff there that gets paid very good. The workers there at the port that keep up the facilities or try to do that. You have the longshoremen here that support the community 110%, and they spend their money here locally instead of spending it out of town. There's just all entities, the fishing fleet. You got the commercial fishing fleet. You have the sport fishing fleet. And also at the port there, you've got the Coast Guard. My gosh, that has expanded tremendously. Look at what that is bringing into the community. Mm-hmm. And yes, they travel down to Cannon Beach, Arch Cape, Seaside. It's all intermingled there, and that's where the port is really good, I do believe.
Okay, great. Thank you. Frank?
Ironically, I spoke before a chamber group yesterday morning in Cannon Beach, and that very question came up. And I had heard it before when I first got here. Why does that benefit us? You know, why should we support the bond issue or the port at all? And there's a complaint. The answer is how they benefit is through the cruise ships. The people do not realize this forthcoming season, we have 23 cruise ships coming with 44,000 people. And wow. CEDAR, which is a community economic development group in a previous study, estimated that 80% of the passengers leave the ship and they spend $175 per couple. Now, there's a ripple effect to that money. It's a multi-million dollar ripple effect all over the county. They have tours going to the South County. But also, because of the influx of passengers going to our stores and restaurants, they buy local. And so any farm or that produces any type of product resupplies that. So the over economic development impact of the cruise ships coming here is really great and is a multi-million dollar business.
And what is the port's role in supporting the cruise ships for someone who's not aware? And either one of you can take that.
Oh, gosh, you've got volunteers up the kazoo with that come down here when the ships arrive. And Frankie, you know, just
cruise
as well.
Host, yes.
But the infrastructure, too. How has the port assisted the cruise ships in coming to the community?
They've opened up their arms to clean up the pier there, clear it off when the cruise ships come here. And they do a wonderful job with that, right? What was it, last week? They're painting the bulkheads there and make it look nice. They're going to clean off all the areas there where the seagulls land and play, and that can get pretty ugly sometimes, but they do a good job of that. And in fact, when the log ships are here, the cruise ship people there just get in awe with watching the work that goes on there. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for not our volunteers that help on these cruise ships here locally, it's amazing to see that and where they ship them to and how they help them out. It's just a real nice thing for our area here.
Okay.
Yes, I'm a cruise host, and this will be my fourth year working down there. And I work the pier intentionally. and greeting people coming and going off the buses. And we are rated the most popular port, one around the world. Travelers said anywhere in the world. And I'm a frequent cruiser too, and I've experienced that. You get off there, if you're not on booked on a tour, you're on your own. So we have a great reputation. The Bruce Conner is director of marketing for the port, and he lines up all these ships, and he expects even more ships in the future, because what has happened is more ships are being allocated to the West Coast. So up to now, we've only had the transition ships heading to Alaska and then coming back. Well, now we're going to have year-round ships, and this year we'll have our first ship, cruise ship, in June and two in July.
Wow.
So they're just coming up the coast and back. Again, the benefit, what the port has done, and but this, the volunteers, we have 120 volunteers in cruise hosts, and they all chip in. They love what they do, and they market downtown, give people help, and the Maritime Museum. So the community really benefits from them.
Okay. What do you make of the so-called man cave controversy raised by incumbent Steve Fulton? And he has claimed that a retired dentist who leases a hangar at the airport is operating an unlicensed speakeasy, and now the Sheriff's Department is investigating that claim. So, Pat, would you like to take that on?
The only thing I really know about that is I looked at the contract on that, and all it states in there that is for airport or airplane hangars, and in the past other people have rented airport hangars and put their cars and motorhomes, etc., and been kicked out. And apparently Dr. Bales has a bunch of other stuff in there. I've never been in there, and I am a friend of Dr. Bales and I support him. But it's in the lease, and either adjust the lease or relocate for and put Life Flight there at no cost to taxpayer, or help fill out some way here or the community out and get things straightened out. But I haven't been out there yet to really look at what's going on, and I need to do that here next week with
okay.
all my spare time.
Sure.
But I don't know. I just I really can't comment too much more on that, but other than, you know, there's the lease dictates airplane storage only. And there's been other places that have been leased. They put cars, motorhomes, et cetera, in there, and they've been kicked out. So I don't know what the format here is
okay.
with the port.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sure. Frank?
I think it's a non-issue. From what I read, the state alcohol beverage people gave them a license, and they're not going to raid them or close them down. So I think it's a non-issue now.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank both of you for coming into the studio today. We are out of time. Pat O'Grady and Frank Spence are running for position 5, now held by John Reichel, on the Port of Astoria Commission in the May 16th election. Thank you both for coming into the studio.
Thank you for having
thank
me.
You.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
The Port District covers the entire county with facilities that include the port itself on Astoria's west end, two mooring basins in Astoria, the Tongue Point Industrial Area on Astoria's East End, and the Astoria Regional Airport in Warrenton. This is Perspectives, and I'm your host, Joan Herman. I hope you can join me next Friday from 9 to 10 for interviews with the remaining two port candidates, incumbent Stephen Fulton and James Campbell, as well as two candidates running for the Clatsop Care Health District Board, Jacqueline Devaney and Mike Aho. And if you live in Oregon and you're not yet registered to vote, the deadline to do so is Tuesday, April 25th, for the May election. Don't lose your vote. Perspectives is heard on the stations of Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM, and KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM, or streaming live at coastradio.org. You also can find show podcast on the station's website. Thanks for listening.